Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. Hello, Cashflow Ninjas. MC Lobsher here, and welcome to another episode of the Cashflow Ninja. I have a great show for you today. In today's show, we're going to look at the art and science of successful resort syndications. My guest in this episode is power couple Josh and Melanie McKellen. Josh is a nationally recognized hospitality executive, conference speaker, innovator, builder, and investor with a track record for development of exceptional resort properties and growing world-class operational teams. Melanie is the president of Accountable Equity and also partner in both Vivami Hospitality and Accountable Equity, where she manages various designers and architects, as well as serves investors directly. Josh and Melanie are passionate about taking on hospitality projects together. And not only do they have a big family, but they dream big and they play big. I'm super excited to have them both on the show today. I love their energy and their enthusiasm. And I always find that every minute I spend with them is not only very enjoyable, but I also learn a lot from them. Vivami Hospitality is a vertically integrated management company, investment group, and value add land developer. If you're interested in joining our investors group, you could go to cashflowninja.com/investors group and fill out an application form and or email me at info@cashflowninja.com to start the discussion to see if you're a good fit for our group. And if you're residing in the Philadelphia, Bucks County, and Southern New Jersey area, we are hosting a live investors meetup event every month in Newtown, Pennsylvania. For more information on the monthly event and information on how to join us and our next live event, you could go to cashflowninja.com/events. If you are like many of the listeners of the show, you're always looking for unique ways to protect and grow your hard-earned capital. But sometimes that's easier said than done. The key to investing late in the cycle is identifying favorable opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. That's where our friends at ASIM Capital come in. Since 2011, ASIM has helped more than 300 accredited investors allocate more than $20 million to mobile home parks, self storage, and workforce housing due to the ability to generate asymmetric returns while protecting their investors' portfolios. If you're interested in learning more, head over to asymcapital.com. That's asymcapital.com to get instant access to their investment offerings. MC Lobsher, the host of the Cashflow Ninja podcast and also the president and chief wealth and investment strategist of Producers Wealth, where we help our clients integrate cashflow banking, also known as infinite banking, with their business and investments. If you're interested in learning more about how we create strategies that integrate cashflow banking and investments to turbocharge them, you can access a video series at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. I am super excited for my guests today on the show. I've gotten to know them quite a bit and very, very well. Love our conversations. And every single time we connect, we speak, I learn. They provided so much value. And I'm very excited for the value that they're going to be providing with all of you, the Cashflow Ninjas out there. Josh and Melanie McKellen. Josh and Melanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Mr. Cashflow Ninja.
Very excited to have you guys on. I think a good place for us to start, for all of the listeners out there that it's not familiar with you and what you do, if you guys don't mind sharing a little bit about your background and journey.
Well, I get to be the husband to Melanie McKellen, the president of Accountable Equity. This lady has MC, you know this, but we're meeting new friends today. So not only has she successfully raised 9 incredible children.
With you.
Oh, yeah, I was there. But she continues to impress us. She speaks publicly now. I mean, I've seen her speak. You're not going to believe this, but down in Texas, even though we're up here in Philadelphia. I've seen her speak on a cruise ship. She's incredible. I'm a big fan of Melanie McCallum.
Thank you. That's all we need for a background.
That's it. There we go. It's great to be on your show today. Thank you so much, Mr. Cashflow Ninja.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we should talk about how we got into this, right?
I would love it. You're the boss.
All right. So, I was a school teacher originally, and then I was home raising our 9 children, and we've had so many great life experiences in our 22 years of marriage. And one of them, I know we look very fondly on and we draw from all the time is our 4 years living over in Europe. So we had this great opportunity after our first child was born, and we lived over in Austria for 4 years. We had 2 babies over there, and we lived at in a 1,000-year-old monastery. What was a monastery transformed over to a hotel, and we worked for a university actually that housed American students for the fall and spring semesters. And but then in the summer it would be open to the public as a beautiful hotel. And during those 4 years, we just traveled and we just enjoyed European culture and learned a lot. Josh, you know, one of his degrees is in history, so he taught me a lot. And we just experienced that life with our children. And we've just always held on to that. It provided so many treasures in our heart. And just how the Europeans, especially in the different countries you would go in, they had so much of a knack for hospitality. And, you know, we went with friends in some Eastern European countries and we spent time with them. And I mean, the way they just honored you as guests in their home was just so inspiring and just beautiful. You just felt so loved and appreciated. And we had only just really met the people. But they just treated us so beautifully. And we talked about that for a long time about how do we instill that in our own children? You know, at that point, like I said, we had 3 young kids. Just treating people with that kind of love and respect was just so, so inspiring. So anyhow, fast forward, we come to the States, we decide to have 6 more children stateside. And Josh, got into hotels, sort of a long story, but sort of fell into it, you could sort of say. And we were his biggest cheerleaders, you know, me, the kids, we loved what he was doing. Started off with 1. And it grew to a couple more, so it was 3. And he worked with a high net worth individual. So it was interesting because the money came in from a different angle than what we're experiencing now. And he renovated them, go ahead, you can take off from there.
Well, Nick, you're the better explainer of what happened. But back in the boom days of real estate, housing real estate in 2005, 2006, we had the privilege of coming back from Europe and building luxury beachfronts, houses. So we started in the project management world, got our feet wet. And that beachfront experience was all about building $5 million beachfront houses to experience nature, to experience why people spend that much money on houses. We're not those kind of people. But it did definitely give you and I attention to detail.
Absolutely.
And then when the economy shifted, we had the chance to totally change the business plan. And the business plan ended up being, how do you take an old beat up hotel, and specifically a resort hotel, and bring it back to life physically? And then what we realized, it wasn't so much about rehabbing the building, it was about rehabbing the culture of hospitality. So that's when we became hotelier focused. And as a matter of fact, you guys have heard of Bigger Pockets, right, Mr. Cashflow Ninja?
Absolutely, yep.
We have a lot of friends that contribute to that show. And thankfully, they call me the Hotel Burr guy. You know their strategy of Burr houses, Burr, B-R-R-R-R-R?
Yep.
Well, we did that strategy where you buy, you R is rehab, you rent, and then you refinance, and then you repeat. That strategy in the world of hotels is kind of what we're famous for. And so now we're doing it again, but now we're doing it differently. It's not just high net worth individuals. It's people like you and I, hardworking families that want to get into real estate investing. So that's where Melanie comes in. She leads the company that actually raises the capital from families called Accountable Equity.
Fantastic. Now, I think you guys did a phenomenal job there. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to touch on. Just how you fell into hospitality because of the experience that you had in Europe. And Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach talks about it quite a bit, that five-star experience that you have on the front end, which is the experience that you provide and which drawn you to the hospitality industry. Maybe if you guys want to expand or have anything to comment on that as well.
Yeah. So initially I would say that, when Josh and his partner were started their first hotel, the initial intent actually was to renovate it and turn it over to a management company. Long story, but there, you know, it only lasted maybe a month or two, and then they let the management company go. Things weren't working right, and they decided, you know, let's take this on because there was something missing there. They didn't like what they saw as far as in terms of their view of hospitality. So they sort of dug in, and they really dug into what does hospitality mean, and what sort of culture do we want to embrace here. What does it mean to see somebody having infinite dignity and worth? You know, that is honestly, if we could put it in one sentence, that's what the culture is seeing people for having infinite dignity and worth, and just by that nature, treating them with that kind of love and respect.
May I add something to that?
Sure, yeah.
So Melanie's right. About a year's worth of getting our teeth kicked in, because resorts in seasonal markets with very high price tags are challenging to run, needless to say. So sometimes we could charge over $450 a night for a rent in the summer when everybody wanted to be at our resort. And then in the winter, we couldn't get a guest if we gave them the room. So that kind of fluctuation became a business challenge. But while we were getting our teeth kicked in from that, we realized we had to ask the why question, like why? Why are we here? Why are we doing this? What's our purpose? And you know what was interesting? As a history buff, we Googled the etymology of the word hospitality. And you're going to love this, MC. It's a Latin root word called hospes. And until about 500 years ago, there was no English word for hospitality. It was hospes. But that same word was hospital, hospice, and hospitality were the same root Latin word. And really, until the modern era, they didn't get divided into three businesses. So it just, if you reflect on that for a minute, we all know how we want to be treated in a hospital. It's different than in a hotel. It's really intimate. And then, of course, we all know how our grandparents or our brothers or whoever we've lost recently passed away in hospice. We've lost a few. And we know how those hospice workers treat our family like beautifully. I don't know if you ever experienced that, MC, but your friends and family that had to go through hospice, they get loved. And they're given that sense of peace
right
at the end of their life. We say to ourselves, well, if that's the same word, why not we show that? Why don't we try to show that culture of love in the hotels?
That's right. And so, like he said, it was a year's worth of just having weekly meetings with the team and building that culture. And what does that mean? And really digging in. And so at the same time, like he said, the why was being answered in our own hearts, and it was growing just deeper and deeper roots. And really our passion for it just kept growing, because when you have an experience where you treat a guest with that kind of service, with that kind dignity of love and dignity, and then, you know, somebody, you get those appreciation letters, or you get somebody coming like, just so special here, then it just grows deeper. Like, we're really touching on something. And then I think the concrete was that in 3 years of owning that first property, it was ranked seventh best in the whole country. So on TripAdvisor. So there's 50,000 hotels on TripAdvisor. And this one in New Jersey was ranked, seventh best. And we realized quickly that, yes, we renovated it and we made it beautiful, but you know, it is a small property compared to, you know, all the ones that you can picture in Florida or in Southern California, but yet it was ranked seventh and it beat those. And we realized it's guest experience. They felt loved. We knew their name when they walked in. We, you know, bartenders remembered what drink it was that they liked when they came back the next time. So we really realized we're onto something, and it's a needed thing. It's clearly something that people are craving for. And we really took it on as, this is a beautiful calling for us to be able to provide this love, to create this atmosphere, and to be in an industry where you're supporting people when they're having their R&R, when they're with their families and they can be together. We want to support that. We want to be there for them and be what they need us to be.
Yeah, the service part, and you guys nicely touch on that. It's the culture of service and providing the experience, and that's the business side of it. So you got into the hospitality industry on that business, and you fell in love with the business. You've created an amazing culture in all of the projects and all of the companies that you've been involved with. At what stage did that the business is one side. At what stage did the real estate side kick in too? When you're saying, "Whoa, we've got a fantastic model here. We've created this great experience. We know how to build teams with this culture that provides this level of service and this experience for visitors and guests." Speak to me when that aha moment came for you guys, when the real estate part kind of connected to the business end.
So I'll take a minute of this, but Melanie, please feel free to add anything you want. So you're absolutely right. There's a shift in our heart and in our life. So about a year ago, we had the opportunity to go out on our own. So right now we are really into our first new project as a team. Before then I was part of another team, as we just referenced. So now we have a new team. It's Melanie, the hospitality team's name is Viva May, which is French root words that mean to restore the soul. And it's because you and I know we buy the ugliest hotels on the block, usually historic resorts and or assets that need a lot of physical restoration. Mm-hmm. But we always say, you got to find the soul. What was the reason whoever put this property here killed themselves to build this property, whether in this case a winery spa, other times it'll be beach hotels, sometimes it'll be mountaintop hotels, but someone put them there for a reason. So we try to figure out the soul of the building. Why was it there?
Right.
And then we say, forget the soul of the building for a minute. We fix that all up. Now let's work on the souls of our team and the souls of our guests, because that's where all the love is, you know. But anyway, so that was happening to us. And at the same time, we found a couple people I want to shout out and thank. A guy named Dave Zook, a buddy of yours, MC.
Yep.
So Dave Zook, Melanie hadn't met him yet, but he starts introducing me to some of our heroes, which is Robert Helms and Russell Gray
of Real Estate Guys.
Real Estate Guys. Mm-hmm.
And those guys have a show, and you know their show. It's by that name, Real Estate Guys Radio. That podcast like completely rewired my brain. Now, at first I thought we were in the world of building beautiful hotels and culture for the business operation, because you can build a system and make great money as an operator. But then those guys and Dave helped me realize, and then this is what I asked Melanie to join me on. I said, there's this whole power of owning a piece of real estate. It changes everything. And then Melanie, she'll tell you all how excited she got when she came to her first real estate event with me with the Real Estate Guys Radio, and they told her all about the tax advantages of owning real estate.
Yeah. So just to back up a little bit. So, you know, I know you have so many people listening to you and you just have a great show. And, but I just have to say to everybody that let your loved ones in on what you listen to, because, because you never know when it's going to come back. So Josh, yep. Like I said, father of nine kids, we go on these road trips and he'd be putting on these podcasts.
Rich Dad Poor Dad books.
Yep. He would have the kids. And so all the kids are being indoctrinated, right? We're all listening to this stuff. And our 6-year-old son loves it. You know, he's totally into it.
My 14-year-old daughter.
Yeah. But anyhow, it was all in the background, and then Josh and I would have these conversations about it. So when we decided to go on our own, he said, I really want you to come with me down to the Real Estate Guys event in Texas. I really want you to sort of hear it firsthand. You know, you've kind of heard bits and pieces and we've talked about it, but really about what it is to raise money to syndicate and what that means. And I was a little reluctant, you know, I guess I just was kind of like, I don't know if I feel comfortable in the world of business. And if this is all about sort of just making good transactions, getting rich kind of thing, like, is that, but I told you, I had like this total epiphany, this huge experience, because these guys really talked about servicing, you know, and here I said, I love service. I love hospitality. And all of a sudden there was like this element of service in syndication that I had never really thought of before. And then I was totally turned on. I was like, this is excellent. This is fantastic. This is, you know, like we stumbled into hotels and loving resorts and all that kind of stuff in a different way. But how can we help others who want to invest in that sort of thing have a window to do that? You know, I think most people think that you have to be a high net worth individual to do that sort of thing. And we're saying, no, this is actually, we want to provide that platform for people who want to own this kind of real estate to have this part of their portfolio, you know, with open arms. Like we really are excited to share the possibilities of owning a little piece of, we call it enjoyable real estate. You know, yeah. I know a lot of your listeners probably do multifamily and different sorts of things, and which is fantastic and does great, you know, fantastic businesses. But there's something really fun about being able to go enjoy a piece of your property, you know, just being able to come do a wine tasting, host a corporate event, that sort of thing. So like I said, I was really just blown away about how this was really a great service to people. But then also on top of that, like you said, the depreciation and the tax credit from owning these, yes, sorts of real estate, especially in terms of this winery that we're doing now. I mean, you can depreciate all sorts of machinery, and also we've got all this equipment for the winery and all this stuff. So we've got this incredible hot asset in terms of depreciation. So it really can help everybody's portfolio in both ways. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Melanie, you know, we're going to have her speak at the next summit we do. We do a summit. We're probably scheduled every other month right now, MC. I know you and I were trying to do it every month, but it's going to be every other month, and the next one's June 1st. And this is where we invite people to the big resort, and whether people are invested in that resort, which we already have 30 of them, mm-hmm, almost 30 of them, or if they're looking at our other projects we're about to release, they can just come and hear what we're doing. And Melanie's going to probably give her talk about depreciation, because we did not speak in those terms a year ago, right, Melanie? We didn't. We thought of ourselves as knowing how to run businesses and get clients.
Absolutely,
and guests.
Right.
Now we talk all about how to avoid taxes by following the law.
Yeah, I remember one individual just said, you know, I can't remember what it was, but this is, you know, like I said, a year ago when I went on this thing, he said, I invested in something and I only made $3,000 the first year on that investment. However, I was able to depreciate $10,000 from that. And so really it's a $13,000. And I was like, that's incredible. And, you know, just talking to so many people, we all have busy lives, you know, we all have so much going on that it's just really something people don't understand or know that much about. And I know my parents got hit really hard with taxes this year. And so we were talking to them, and it's almost like you actually get the reaction is kind of like, that can't be true, because that's too good to be true. And the other thing the real estate guys talk about all the time is that, you know, the way the government writes these tax codes, it's in a particular way to almost drive traffic. And so right now that they kept saying that over and over again is, oil used to be the number one. Now it's actually real estate surpassed that. And so real estate is where they want us to funnel our money and to drive traffic towards investing.
You're listening to The Cashflow Ninja, the show helping people all over the world create monthly cash flow and achieve freedom today, not in 10, 20, 30, and or 40 years. This is the show where cash is not king, but cash flow is king. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. My friend Dave Zook says, you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. Dave and his team at The Real Asset Investor have syndicated many successful real estate and ATM projects over the last decade. Now his team has an exclusive opportunity for investors in the coal space. Do you want to be part of an energy project that takes conventional coal and cleans it up by extracting liquids while releasing almost zero emissions? The sale of these liquids can produce strong double-digit cash flow and aggressive tax benefits against ordinary income, all while using America's number one most plentiful resource in a responsible, efficient manner. Now that's non-conventional. For more information on this exclusive opportunity, you can visit therealassetinvestor.com or contact the Real Asset Investor team at info@therealassetinvestor.com.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the United States. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Learn how to find the best deals by downloading your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com. That's noradarealestate.com.
You're listening to The Cashflow Ninja, the show helping people all over the world create monthly cash flow and achieve freedom today, not in 10, 20, 30, and or 40 years. This is the show where cash is not king, but cash flow is king. Now let's return to our interview. It's a very spiritual experience the whole thing, because if you think about it, you know, the way that we look at taxes too, every year, if it was a great tax year, we knew that we provided value through our business for other folks, right? Because businesses solve problems or create an experience or an outcome for someone. And or like you mentioned with real estate, you provide an opportunity, whether it's low cost housing or again, an experience for folks. So that's why the money's driven in that direction. So the creators, you know, not to sound too Atlas Shruggish, but the producers and the creators that create these businesses and also these opportunities and investments, the tax code is simply a way to steer folks to do more of that, to provide more value. And the more value that they provide, the more, the better the tax benefits are going to be, right?
Absolutely. And not only that, you know, like Josh said, that the assets that we like to really grab hold of are ones that are distressed and that need some love. And typically, the town around us is welcoming us with huge, big bear hugs because they're just saying, they're kind of like, please, this is fantastic. And so we have tons of support from the townships. And even in the property that we just bought has, you know, it was bank owned for the last 3 years. And so all the team working there had to go through 3 years of pretty, scary times and kind of lots of question marks. And so that stability of us coming in, bringing, you know, loads of team members and just our, you know, right away from day one, we started trying to bring in the culture of, why are we all here? What is our why? And getting them to sort of really reflect on if they want to stay with us, why would they want to stay with us? Why do they want to be here? And I can tell you, just in the 4 months that we've been there, you know, end of December, we acquired the property. It is a world of difference. The hope in people's eyes, the beauty, the place is starting to turn around. And like Josh is saying, we do these investor summits, so like one every other month about, and, that's my favorite thing. That is honest. That's my favorite thing to do.
Wow. It's like, yes, I didn't know that.
It's my absolute favorite thing because it kind of, for me, it's everything I love all wrapped up in one night, you know, one really fun night.
It's an epiphany for me. I thought I was making you do those.
Well, and initially, okay. So I have to admit that out of the two of us, the more comfortable person on stage is absolutely Josh. You know, he's kind of, he was in seventh grade, the funny guy who got it on the double dare.
that's true.
You can look that up. Josh won double dare as a kid in Nickelodeon when we all thought that was the coolest thing.
It was a brand new show.
So he's kind of was always very comfortable on stage doing fun things. So this is new for me to sort of be on stage sort of talking about this, but when it's something I'm passionate about, it's easy to do. And so that part of it, and I have to say the investor summits are a little more of an intimate setting, like
dinner,
like he was
tour.
Getting me on stage in front of 200 people down there at the real estate guys, and I was shaking in my boots. So like, I don't know if I can do this, but again, once you get into it, once you start talking, it becomes easy. And so anyhow, but the investor summits are really tons of fun. So we get everybody there. Some are actual investors, some are, you know, and then other people that are just involved in some way or just have interest. And we give them like a whole beautiful hour tour of the building. And we get everybody looking at, you know, all the possibilities before when there was no construction being done. It was fun just to show them like computer renderings that we have been working on about what the room is going to look like. And anyhow, it was, they would, you know, investors would have their different ideas and their experiences they would bring to it about what was really cool possibilities for the place. And I think everybody saw that. It's just so much potential. And then we have a wonderful dinner and we get to really just love on them. I always like to say that, you know, just like get to see the culture and work with our team. And then we just have a Q&A, sort of a little informal, just questions and answers. And then they get to meet each other, which is great. You know, you want, you, they want to mingle amongst themselves and realize something. We have them from all over the place, Georgia. We have different
California.
So we've got people from everywhere and some can come in. So, you know, it's just, it's really my favorite part. It's really fun.
This next time, you know, until now we were using the platform was always meant for Renault, but now we have Renault fully invested and now we're, there's some really incredible small investment opportunities coming up. Not as big, but massively tax advantaged. So we'll talk about those on June 1, honey.
The unveiling.
Great.
New investors can join one of our programs.
That's right.
Great. And this is what I love about having this show, because there's a science to wealth creation and building wealth. And then there's the art, right? There's an art and a science. And every Cashflow Ninja, and excited to have these two Cashflow Ninjas on, have their art and how they do it and how they provide value. You mentioned Renault, the winery in New Jersey. That was a question that I had. Maybe if you want to share a little bit about this property, because this is, I have to say, when I drove up to it too, I was just blown away. I mean, there's a lot of history there, and I kind of did my Google search before I met you guys there. Maybe if you just want to touch on that a little bit, because it's super, super interesting.
It's a great example of what we do. But I will admit, it may be the most historic property we ever find, even though we're on a path for 100 properties in our lifetime for investor partnerships. This one may be the most historic, correct, Melanie?
No, and I'm so grateful.
She says no.
No, it is. No, I meant yes. I meant yes. It would be awesome if we got something even more. This is just such a gem. This is just a diamond. And I'm so excited this is the first one because, well, first of all, it's an hour from our house. So that's awesome. We're excited to do them everywhere and anywhere. But this one's pretty cool. So it's close by. And it's 155 years old.
Abraham Lincoln was president when this place got founded.
And the coolest part is when we found their certificate that said this was the third winery ever in the United States of America, that was it. We're like, this is awesome. And it's gone through the years. So like we said, it's a French winery started by Louis Renault, came over from France, from the Champagne area of France, and decided, ironically, that the soil in New Jersey was most reminiscent of the soil in Champagne area of France and the best to grow grapes for the Champagne making of wine. And so he started his family, and Josh loves to show these side-by-side pictures of the family in France, Louis's family in France, all, you know.
Five kids, I think.
They're dressed really beautifully and just very elegant.
Rich looking.
And then I don't know how many years later was the next picture.
20 years later.
Was it 20 years later? They are like farmers with like, you know, dirt under the fingernails, working hard. They're crushing it, literally grapes, crushing it. So they're doing great. And
oh my God.
She's got
a stand-up show starting this week at the local pub. Try the rest of your all week.
No, we love it. So then over the years, it's got this great history and, you know, it survived Prohibition. We've got this awesome speakeasy room and,
It actually did legally and illegally survive Prohibition.
Right.
Quote unquote, it was making church wine and tonic medicines.
So the tonic and medicines, I love that story.
Quote unquote, it was selling bootleg stuff to Joey Kennedy, the dad of JFK. So
right.
It's got cool history.
So yeah, the tonic though is really cool because he was, this was not Louis anymore. This is
the next era of Italian family ownership.
Right. Switched over to Italian ownership at that point. Anyhow, they sold this tonic that had something like reminiscent of like a Pepto-Bismol. That was sort of the medicinal part of it. And it says on the back of the bottle, and we just love this. It says,
it's awesome. We got to make a t-shirt that says this.
Oh, yeah. We're into that.
The word caution.
Caution. Do not refrigerate, as could turn into wine. And so
grandpa's cough medicine.
Exactly. So that, you know, that was in every family's refrigerator, this tonic bottle.
Just the science of it, honey, loves it. Melanie loves the science. So actually it did turn into wine in the refrigerator. And you're like, what the heck are they talking about? That Pepto-Bismol powder they put in there would get hard and sit at the bottom. And then you could pour out
the probably
pour off like a 22% fortified wine.
So I've seen a picture of a float. He had like
they were like one of the original sponsors of Miss America.
Right. So there's like a float, and there's all these ladies holding the tonic bottles, and they're dressed in nurses' outfits to show how important and medicinal this was for your body, and everybody needs to have it. Anyhow, that was a cute little side.
Good health is important, you know.
That's right.
What can you say?
That's right.
This almost reminds me too that probably during Prohibition, for the listeners that might be familiar with the Boardwalk Empire, a couple of characters that paid a visit over there to pick up some of the cough medicine.
We're only about 15 miles outside of Atlantic City,
right?
So this was the bootleg property for much of Atlantic City's Boardwalk Empire. Yep. It really was, and that guy Nucky Thompson. The TV show, I think, calls him Thompson, but his real show name was Nucky Johnson. Or I might have it backwards. But either way, he was there. He was there. Yes. There's a big mural to him. Okay.
Right.
I'm sure he was a murderer, but we have a mural to him, sadly.
Yeah. Like you said, there's just so much history that we went through this. And so we were inspired to take it all the way back to its French roots. And and so we started calling it Renault, and and we're inspired. So in the design of it all, that's kind of where we're going with it. We're taking it all the way back. We're kind of it's huge, actually. So
242 acres,
120,000 square feet.
Spa. Yeah, golf course, spa, hotels, weddings. That was the other thing that's hosted on the property. So if listeners are interested in it and that, they should definitely check it out, because you're filling up really quickly too, right?
Yeah, that was really exciting. So we realized we're still producing champagne and wine on premises, but the amount of production facilities, we don't need that massive scale anymore. So we're able to turn some of the places into really cool ballrooms, and we have about six spaces on property that we could have six simultaneous weddings. It's massive. But what's really cool is each room has a different feel. So we really can appeal to any bride. And I know Vineyard Weddings, we work with theknot.com. Vineyard Weddings are massively popular. And for good reason. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's really, really fun to be there. So, but what's really fun is that our property can have that 3-day event. So, speaking with the ladies from theknot.com, she came here, she said, this is a gold mine. You've got the golf course, you've got, a spa, we've got the wine tasting room, we've got the speakeasy room that people like to reserve for like an after party. So we can have easy, a really comfortable 3-day fun, wedding event for any bride. And, but the cool part is that when we bought the property, inherited 30 weddings, I believe, it 30 weddings. And in the pro forma for year one, we promised our investors that we could get to a nice 80, is that right? I'm right on the number. 89 weddings. But what's really cool is that in the 4 months that we've owned the property, we're already at 55 booked weddings since December 27th. So it's just the close ratio is amazing with brides coming in, seeing the property. And in fact, seeing it under construction actually makes them happy. They realize that we're going to make it to their wedding day. We're going to have it all done for them. And they see these computer renderings, and it's been easy. It's just been really easy for them to see.
We have a great team, though. We have a great team, and Dan.
Oh yes, of course, yes.
Kevin and so many, and all the sales team, and Nikki and Olivia. And
fun. It's a fun bunch too. I could just feel the energy when I walked in there and saw everyone. One thing I wanted to touch on too. There's the naming rights too of champagne and sparkling wine and Method of Champenois. Known in the Western Cape, where I'm from, in South Africa, it's Method of Cup Classique, because you're not allowed to call it the champagne and so forth. There's something to that, too, on that property, right, because of the history?
Yeah, like our bottle, when you buy a bottle of sparkling wine at our property, it has the word champagne on it legally.
American champagne, it's written.
So that's very rare, one of the few places in the world that are allowed to still use the word without being from France, in France.
from the Champagne region of France. So yeah, it was grandfathered in because Louis Renault came over here. He
predated all the rules.
Exactly.
And he was the first champagne maker in America. There's all these articles that go back to the 1800s where they did editorial stories on him because it's actually champagne as a method is not that old. It's only 250 years old. So he was an early, adopter in a sense. In France, it wasn't even that old. So now in America, he was the first. Yep. Very cool.
Very, very cool stuff. We talked a little bit about the business. We talked about the real estate, just like Monopoly, you've got the couple of greenhouses and then you turn it into the big red hotel, right? We talked a little bit about the business and so forth. One of the things that I love what you guys are doing too is documenting the journey through capital hacking. If you guys want to share a little bit just around that concept and idea.
Okay, well, this is a big deal. On top of all the great things that are happening, we want to thank Mr. MC Laubscher for being so supportive as a new podcast show. We're colleagues in this really great show called Capital Hacking. And the theory was, when we started all this, we said, this is a calling for us for the next 40 years. We're going to chronicle the education we're going through, where we shifted from a mindset of being really good operators, which there's thousands and thousands of your listeners that may be right in that world where they're very good at whatever their business is, running a current, maybe they're great operators of a manufacturing plant, or maybe they're great car salespeople that don't have a way to buy their car dealership. So capital hacking was our resourcefulness. That was what we were calling it, where we were trying to find a way to gather resources, even though we were not independently wealthy. And we knew it takes millions of dollars to buy hotels and resorts and even more millions of dollars to restore them. And so we learned syndication and we wanted to chronicle this. And really, we learned from you listening to your show in the fall. I remember you talking all about what you think capital is, and you had a nice explanation and we shared some of your strategies. You explained well, and I'm sure you can do a summary of it, that capital isn't always just the cash.
Right.
As a matter of fact, we then went another step further and added to your story where we think it's us. It's all of us human building our human capital. And there's various different components of that will attract cash capital. And when you put the two together, a well-formed leader like us, all of us around the room here, who've done a good job at whatever the skill is, plus that we've developed our mindset to be able to have the integrity to raise and preserve capital. Now we can ask for cash capital and gather it. And now together we can make real power. We call it life hacking 2.0 because we're past the stage of just thinking that we should run our life a little differently. Now we want to actually gather power. So capital hacking. And it's a show. And by the way, you've been on it. Probably one of the top rated shows we've ever had, your
Definitely.
Episode.
Absolutely.
And you know what though, buddy? Your big buddy, Robert Kiyosaki, you've interviewed everybody, but you've interviewed him a few times. He'll be on in a few weeks. We're so grateful for your support of the show.
Yeah, it was an awesome experience. Great in-studio experience with you guys. I would highly recommend people check it out. If you want to increase your capital, whether it be your mental capital, your relationship capital, which eventually gets you your financial capital, if you combine those two, I would highly recommend check out that show. I'll put some links in the show notes. Also, just type in Capital Hacking on iTunes. The show's on all of the different platforms. One of my favorite questions to ask all of our guests is the legacy question, because the core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So if, guys, if you cannot pass on any money to future generations and we're only allowed to pass on three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
Would you like me to start? Three principles?
Yeah, go ahead.
Number one for me, honey, and feel free. I mean, Melanie and I think in terms of nine children.
Right.
We think in terms of others because we work at that. I mean, it's not always natural, but we want to be here for others. Okay. So number one, we think maybe that's one of the three, is to live for others.
That's right. I totally agree with that.
Yes. But I think there's like a skill, maybe this is principle two. There's a skill that makes all of this possible, and that's overcoming adversity with positivity. Now, we use the term, you could call it adversity hacking, or The Obstacle is the Way. You ever read Ryan Halliday?
Yep.
That book is awesome as core to our philosophy in life, which is it is absolutely okay to fall and fail.
Yes.
Because it's amazing something better is about to happen. Mm-hmm. Just if we could teach our children that, we know they'll be fine. Right, hon?
Absolutely.
And what's number three then?
Do you have it in your mind? No, I just I firmly believe the that why? the why. And there's a quote that I love that says, if you're made who you're, if you are who you were created to be, you will set the world on fire. And I just think that that's the why.
That's the why.
Figure out what it is that you're good at, that drives your passion, that gets you to wake up and get you to keep getting back on the horse when it doesn't look like the way it's meant to go. That's back to his sort of his, the, you know, when you fall. That's actually one of his mantras he teaches our kids.
When we were young in Europe.
He used to always say to our kids, when you fall, get right back up. And he starts teaching them like when they're 1 year old, you know, when you fall, you get right back up. But I think that's, you know, a beautiful thing to teach children because, you know, and I know that Robert Kiyosaki says it all
he's
the time too.
That.
It's like, you know, you better be failing if you're trying, because that means that you are working towards a goal and that you are learning every step of the way. And so that's important to kids. I think in schools sometimes they, you know, it's not good to fail. It's not good to, of course you want your kids to be trying, but giving them that optimistic, outlook in life. And that just, that it's okay. Just figure out, tweak it, figure out what you can do better, get right back on. But the why is probably the biggest one for me in terms of our kids, you know, figure out, I see their gifts and talents, but they have to see them and they have to find out their passion and know what they can do to set the world on fire. That's kind of.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that. Guys, where can my listeners reach out to you? Where can they stay informed of all of these many great projects that you're involved with? In touch base.
All right. So if you go to accountableequity.com, you'll see our mission and what we're doing, and you can reach out to us and we'll get right back to you.
Fantastic. Josh and Melanie, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and providing so much value for my listeners. And as always, I have a blast speaking with you guys and connecting with you. Appreciate you both. Thank you so much.
Can't wait to meet your lovely wife too,
MC.
And the kids.
Absolutely.
Thanks, MC. You're a pleasure, buddy. Thanks for being
awesome.
Part of the family.
Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the $1 billion blueprint, followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements.
Thank you again for joining me on the Cashflow Ninja. If you like what you hear and appreciate what we're trying to build here, please subscribe, rate, and write a review for our show on iTunes and share our show with family, friends, and your network. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com. I want to thank you for spending your most precious resource with me today, your time. Until next time, my friend, live a life of passion and purpose on your terms. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation,
situation and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.